It is Thursday, the 21st of April. Welcome along to the Rugby Pass podcast. Scotty Stevenson in the seat with you today. Alongside me, Mark Stafford of the New Zealand TAB. And Staff, big day today for Iggy Pop.
Massive day for the Iggster. Birthday today, 69 years old. One of my first concerts I ever went to as sort of an adolescent. In fact, my first concert was Acker Bilk, the clarinet player, when I was 12. My father took me to that.
How was that?
I knew one song, Strangers on the Shore. You'll know it if you ever heard it. And the rest of it was awful. And then my next real concert was My Sex, the great New Zealand rock band, and then Iggy Pop.
It's very hard, I would imagine, for a clarinet player just to hold an audience for an extended period of time. Usually a clarinet solo goes down well, but to actually form an entire concert performance around one reed instrument, tough.
Yeah. Palmerston North Opera House, one stool, one man, one clarinet, one spotlight, 1.5 hours.
Wow, that sounds terrible. That sounds totally terrible. What is not terrible and what has more than one spotlight, more than one star and a lot of different instruments? The Laureus World Sports Awards, during which this week, Staffy, rugby was foremost in most people's minds, considering the All Blacks won Team of the Year. And then Dan Carter goes and wins the comeback of the year. Your thoughts?
Look, great for New Zealand, but I think more importantly, great for the game of rugby internationally. I mean, all the listeners here love the game of code, and that was hugely viewed right through Europe, through the Americas, everything, because all of their rock stars are nominated, and boom, we are not only the All Blacks won the best team in the world, but what they have said is rugby is the best game in the world, and they have absolutely no argument from me.
None at all. You compare the achievements of the All Blacks winning the Rugby World Cup and doing what they've done with Barcelona, for instance, or a Davis Cup team, or New Zealand national, or the US national women's team. I mean, that's some serious talent.
Oh, it's great to get nominated. I mean, you're a winner to get nominated
and
things
like
that.
Sixth nomination?
Yeah, I mean, think about how many sports teams there are in the world, and the All Blacks are the best of all of them. And just look at the caliber of the other winners with Novak Djokovic and Serena Williams. I mean, it's epic.
Dan Carter wins comeback of the year. I think he's the second rugby player to win this award. Now, here's the last one. Was on a hospital bed. His family had basically said, come and say your goodbyes. He is dying. He had meningococcal disease. And within 18 months of that, he was back playing for the Springboks. His name's Skalk Berger, of course. I'm finding it very difficult, and to take nothing away from Dan Carter, who had a couple of bad seasons and some injuries, comparing his comeback with a man who was technically dead. Now, that's a comeback.
Yeah. And, I mean, I don't want to take anything away from Dan Carter. I mean, he's well worth many awards, but comeback of the year, I thought, oh, yeah, he's come back from NBA finals, the Masters, sabbaticals, not disrespecting the quality of him as a rugby player, but Mick Fanning was eaten by a shark.
Dead set. Punched a shark in the face.
Yeah.
And then came back and surfed, 2 weeks later? That's a comeback.
Yeah, and he said, I'm going back to the beach and compete where I was eaten by the shark, and he's done that. That's a comeback. Maybe sports, surfing's not as big a deal as rugby, I don't know, but comeback was the key word there.
Carter's suffering from classic hip-hop syndrome here. Don't call it a comeback. He's been there for years.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it is for me. I mean, you can't say a comeback is just, I got over an injury, played some shit rugby, and now I'm a world beater. That's not a comeback. That's just finding form.
Mm. There is an award out there for him somewhere. I heard someone say today, no other first five in the history of the world and probably in the future will be the best number 10 for 10 years straight. That's worth an award. But it's not comeback.
I'm going to just take umbrage with that comment as well. There's other tens around the world who may have an argument there, including one Jay Wilkinson. Johnny Wilkinson.
Kicked a drop goal.
Oh, come on. Come on. That is your antipodean mindset at play here.
Possibly.
You have to look outside the borders. Wilkinson has a case to say that in some years he's performed better than Dan Carter.
I'll tell you what, he did a better comeback than Dan Carter.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
I think your point, though, about rugby's place in the sun or moment in the sun here is absolutely
shine on me.
100% accurate. That is a massive deal for rugby to be included in those awards, not just nominated, but to win two awards at the Laureus Awards. Well played, Rugby Union.
Absolutely.
We move on because other silverware up for grabs this weekend. I'm going to start in the north. Can I start in the north today?
You're the pilot.
Big weekend for European club rugby, European Championship Cup. But we have two semi-finals. We have Leicester taking on Racing Metro, or Racing 92 as they are now known.
DC United,
Dan Carter. And Dan Carter playing first five, while Leicester coached by his former Crusaders teammate Aaron Major. Lots of juicy matchups there. And then Wasps taking on Saracens in the other semi-final. Let's not start on the games. Let's just talk about England rugby at the moment. I mean, is this a massive fillip for the Six Nations champions to know that three of their clubs, and their clubs with a host of England players, are there at the business end of the European Cup finals?
Yeah, look, I think it's great for English rugby. I mean, they've been full of promise and bluster for years without actually doing anything on the scoreboard. They've gone and won the Six Nations with, let's admit it, great rugby. I thought they played some really nice rugby in the Six Nations. Three of the four teams are English clubs, as you rightly say. Mm. They are finally bearing fruit on these trees that have been growing so strong for so long. I'm delighted for English rugby, and it'll be great to see them kick on. The belief that will be in the English Rugby Union halls now will be better than they've ever had. They've talked a game, now they're playing the game.
Look, they've always been there or thereabouts when it comes to European rugby. They've had some wonderful success in the former Heineken Cup. But there's a team I love more than all others here. And you know I'm a Tigers fan.
Yep.
Do you know who I want to win? I want Wasps to destroy this tournament. I want them to win the semi-final, beat Saris, go on and win the cup. And here's why. James Haskell.
Yep.
Came to New Zealand in 2012, played for the Highlanders. Why? Wanted to learn. Wanted a challenge. He went back to Wasps after some time with Stade Francais, said, I want to go back. I want to rebuild the club. Not only has he rebuilt the club, he's rebuilt his own career. He's now a linchpin for Eddie Jones. And we're talking, what, 12 years after he first played a test match? And they're playing great footy. They've got the best back in Europe by a country mile on Charles Piatau, Siali Piatau, Alapati Leua, Frank Halai, and the biggest of all, in my books, George Smith, still trucking. And here's the great thing about Haskell. He told The Guardian during the week that when George Smith's signing was announced, you could be forgiven as a player and a parochial player, as most Englishmen are, and saying, oh, great, I'm never going to play a game. Instead, he sent him an email and said, looking forward to learning from you. And that's what he's done. Wasps have embraced cross-border like I don't think any team in Europe's done, certainly in England, for a very long time. And I hope they go all the way.
Yeah, I agree. And your point about James Haskell, I absolutely take on board. I think there was a few head scratches when they signed George Smith because they just saw 36 years old next to his name. But in life, there's the odd person that can perform past the perceived prime. We've seen it with Brad Thorne, but you can count them on one hand. George Smith is probably the best player we've ever seen over 35 years of age. Mm. He is phenomenal. Watch him, people. He is phenomenal.
Yeah, great matchups, those. They should be really good semi-finals. And to be honest, mate, whoever wins that, I do hope, and now that the weather's warming up in Europe as well, that the final is going to be a spectacle. I think if Wasps and Racing are in that final,
yeah, look out.
That is going to be game of the year. That's my opinion anyway. We move back down this side of the equator, Staff, and into Super Rugby. And you want to talk about blockbusters. How can you possibly go past the Canes and the Chiefs at Westpac Stadium this weekend, Saturday night, New Zealand time? This game has it all for me. So many individual matchups and so much at stake.
Yeah, I don't know where to start, so I almost feel like I should finish, because you could talk about the matchups. I think it's great that it's in Wellington, because I think if it was at the Chiefs' home ground, I think they'd definitely go in as quite warm favourites. But this levels it up with home ground advantage to the Hurricanes.
Do you want a stat?
Yes.
The Chiefs have played the Hurricanes six times after a bye. They've won one.
Ooh. Little hurricane just went off inside.
Yeah, it did, didn't it? I can see that. I can see the hurricane pouring out of your eyes right now. I do like this, and a lot has been made of the Bowden-Barrett-Aaron Cruden matchup. Two very different players. And the Chiefs will have created a defensive line to stop Barrett, because he'll run.
He'll run.
And he'll play pivot all night long. Cruden won't. He will roam the back line looking for holes, looking for opportunities. This is as much a stylistic matchup, and they're opposite styles really, as it is a battle for that 10 jersey in the All Blacks. I don't think Barrett's in the running for the 10 jersey in the All Blacks, quite frankly, but he will be out there to prove a point.
Yeah, and I just hope, and if those two individuals go into the game thinking we're playing for the All Black jersey, their game will be no good. I don't think Aaron Cruden goes with that mindset.
No, but that's right. Who's more?
I think Bodie Barrett goes with that mindset.
And there's the problem. So, yeah, Barrett's the at-risk character in this battle, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And I think I've said on the first time I was on this podcast that Bowden Barrett is a tailor-made 23 in the black jersey because he fills so many holes. He's determined. He's turned down the opportunity to go to the sevens because he wants to be the all-black 10. Mm. Don't play yourself out of the 23 jersey, for God's sake.
Well, then you got Damien McKenzie. Mm. Damien McKenzie has lit up Super Rugby, and I was speaking to Stephen Donald, his Chiefs teammate, a veteran, as we know, World Cup winner, and Stephen just looked at me and said, there has never been a player who has torn Super Rugby a new one like Damien McKenzie. And I find it hard to argue with that. I find it very hard to argue with that, purely on stats, purely on numbers.
Yeah, stats and numbers are phenomenal, aren't they? He has a presence that he almost doesn't deserve or hasn't earned because he hasn't done enough miles, but it is undeniable.
It's totally undeniable.
He's freaky.
And I've said it before, he has that because Cruden lets him play there.
Yep.
You know, that is unselfish from Cruden to say, oh, well, you can pop into 10 anytime you like, mate. I'll see you later. I'm out outside centre. I really like this game. It's going to be a cracker. The Highlanders will take on the Sharks the night before. I don't give the Sharks much hope. 195 tackles they made against the Blues. 195 tackles. That's the second most in a game of Super Rugby this year.
Yeah,
you've got to be tired.
I find it hard to talk about the Sharks. So, I mean, I don't want to poo-poo because they try their guts out, but they're stainless steel playing platinum, aren't they? they just won't.
Stainless has a place.
Yeah.
Cutlery.
Second drawer. Not top drawer.
Oh, you're talking about the silverware. Mm. The silver service. Mm. How often do you bring the silver service out?
When needed.
You've never brought it out for me.
Don't need it.
Highlanders win this, don't they? I mean,
yeah, look, they do.
By all measures.
Yeah, they do. And they got Jason Emery. They've named Jason Emery for his first start of the season.
Do you know, I see that, and I like that.
Watch this dynamo go.
Yeah, they've got Jack Wilson in the team, Jason Emery in the team. I really like what Jason Emery does. And, you know, I think that'll bring just a little different dynamic to that relationship that Lima Sopawanga has had with his 12s this year. So I'm looking forward
to it.
Yeah,
I like what Jamie's doing there, that coach Jamie Joseph. The opposition will go, Jason who?
Mm.
They'll know who Jason is at the end of 80.
The world will know my name. Brumbies take on the Crusaders. I think you'd have to say this is another killer matchup as well. Brumbies at home in Canberra. Always tough. We know that. We can speak in generalisations if we wish on the Rugby Pass podcast. Yeah. Except when they play the Chiefs. Look, this has been a great matchup over so long. In fact, you'd have to say from a Super Rugby point of view, this is the matchup.
Yeah.
This really is the matchup. You know, take it out of New Zealand and the Auckland-Canterbury thing, which then transferred into the Blues-Crusaders thing. The Brumbies and Crusaders, through that late 90s, early 2000s, that was the matchup.
Yeah. The listeners won't have been privy to an interview with Dave Hewitt, assistant coach, that was on New Zealand television last night. His eyes were orange.
Oh, yeah.
He said, this is a marker game for us. I so believed him. It wasn't mumbo-jumbo spitting out of the pre-match interview journal. They absolutely know this is the marker. Brumbies in Canberra are so tough.
I've got to say here, the Crusaders won their last five matches against the Brumbies. So in a way, they should go in here as favourites. And in those five wins, they scored a snippet under 40 points per game. I watched the Brumbies last week against the Waratahs. And I don't think I'm the only one who looks at that team right now and says after their fast start, remember they dusted the Canes 52-10 in round one.
Yeah, what happened?
They are way off the boil here.
The only thing they may have been doing last week was looking forward to this week because the Waratahs have been cake. And they may have been looking at the Crusaders. Did the Brumbies get Pocock back this week? We don't know.
I think they do.
I think they might.
I think they do. Does Pocock make that much of a difference to the Brumbies?
That's why I mentioned them.
You think?
Massive.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think the loose forwards are the problem for the Brumbies.
No, his presence. He's got the McCaw factor that McCaw had in the All Blacks / Crusaders. And the Pocock presence in the Brumbies, you go, geez, I better play good. Mm. Davies here.
I'm going to lay one down on you here.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this.
Let me clear my throat for this. The Sunwolves will beat the Jaguares.
Oh, you're dreaming.
The Sunwolves will beat the Jaguares.
I'm trying to think how.
It's just going to happen. The Sunwolves will beat the Jaguares.
Okay. I'll have a cider. I'll have a cider on with you.
You will?
Yeah.
Go on.
Ham and cheese toasty.
I'm so gutted for the Sunwolves. We all knew that lack of preseason was going to catch them eventually. It caught them last week against the Cheetahs. And everyone says, oh, that's the end of the Sunwolves. Experiment over. It's a failure. I don't buy that. The Cheetahs are that team that I remember watching them put 60 points on teams, 50 points on teams. When they click, that's what they do. But the Sunwolves had no preseason. We are in round 8, round 9 now. That is going to hit you at some stage. All the travel, bigger teams, lots of tackles. They still had enough in that game in terms of ball, in terms of possession, field position, to do better than they did. That's just one-on-one tackling.
Well, they're going to run out on that field, 100 metres by 50 metres, green, white stripes, posts at each end, and go, I remember last time we were at a place like this.
They'll put it behind them. Home crowd, they've got honour on the line. Come on. Is there anything a Japanese likes more than a bit of honour on the line?
Mate,
Sweep the leg.
I'd love to see them win. I cannot see them winning.
I'm throwing it out there. Two more games to get through, mate. The Rebels and the Cheetahs. Take your pick. The Rebels at home, of course. I think the Cheetahs will get dusted by the Rebels myself. And then Stormers host the Reds, and I think that's one-way traffic too.
Yeah, both of them. I agree. They're not great watches, but there are some magnificent matchups this weekend.
Other issue in rugby union. Right now, staff, to finish the Rugby Pass podcast for this Thursday, the 21st of April. Anything else on your mind right now?
This is going to seem really minor to you. It may not seem really minor. We still haven't, I'm talking New Zealand rugby, I apologise, but we still haven't got a replacement for Aaron Smith. And I'm still not seeing anything to replace Aaron Smith.
Brad Weber?
No.
Tawara Kurbalo?
Maybe.
TJ Petanara?
No. So there's daylight between all of them. I want Jason Emery to start playing halfback.
Not a bad shout. Not a bad shout.
Watch Jason Emery this week, people.
Some advice from Mark Stafford. Scotty Stevenson with you here on the Rugby Pass podcast. Don't forget, get your subscription today. It's a whole lot of rugby when you want it, when you need it, and where you need it. Get into it.